Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games. Right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4! Hey, ho, let's go!
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, welcome, welcome, welcome. Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon. Ryan Girdler stands beside me. Emma Lawrence and Nathan Brown, who I should say. Brownie, I haven't seen you in the flesh since the announcement was made that you'll be taking over the Warriors next season. Congratulations.
Thanks, Tone.
You feeling good about it all?
Well, excited, mate. Yeah, great opportunity and family's looking forward to it. In an ideal world, we could move to Auckland, but...
Who knows where you'll be, really?
We don't know where we'll be going.
And when do you start working behind the scenes, Brownie, with, because obviously Pedro Sutherland,
Sutherland,
he's a close mate of yours anyway, so you guys start putting a roster together a little
bit? Yeah, we talk all the time, so I talk to Pete all the time, and Justin Morgan's, Morgs was a bit of my go-between when Toddy took over. I was sort of always talking to Morgs anyway with a little bit of consultancy work I was doing, so I sort of keep in contact with Morgs and... Yeah, so you do a bit behind the scenes.
And what about the uncertainty over where you will be based? How hard is that in terms of getting a roster of staff together as well?
Yeah, well, they've got some really good staff. They're doing some great work at the moment. But as everyone knows, the Warriors have been in another country all this year. So I suppose the thing for a lot of the staff is whose families want to move to Australia for probably 8 or 9 months, you know. So some people, I'm sure, would love to do it and see it as a nice working holiday. And some families would probably think, well, I like the idea of staying in Auckland. So there's a lot of unknown. Yeah, and same I think most players seem, from what I understand, I haven't been in and had conversations with the players, obviously because of the bubble, but from what I understand, as long as the families can come out, most players seem reasonably comfortable, I think, if they've got their families. But it's been a tough period for a few of them without their families.
And you mentioned your family there, keen, excited, a little bit, any trepidation about another change?
My oldest daughter was keen as anything to... for another change to get to Auckland, so she was really keen. My middle daughter's got a boyfriend, Annie, so she's always a bit in the... She goes out with E.T.'s nephew, little Oscar. He's a good little kid, actually. He's a decent, good young lad, so... he did his shoulder score on a try about a month ago, the poor bugger, so...
Has he got E.T.'s looks?
Well, that's not for me to judge. That's for the girls to judge, all that sort of stuff. But he runs like him, actually. It's quite funny, quite ironic. He puts the ball in the left arm and the head goes back, and so she's always... And she's at that age, year 10, where you sort of think this group of friends is going to be the last ones you ever meet. So.
Yep,
but she's all good. She comes around. And the two younger ones, they're fine. So it's all good. But we don't know what's going to happen yet because we could be based in Queensland or Central Coast or wherever. But whatever we do, we'll all make the most of it.
Em, any tears when the announcement from your brother that he's pulling the pin at the end of the year?
There were tears, actually. So he'd been thinking about it for a while. I think during the COVID break, raised it a few times, was... speaking to his wife, Catherine, and mum and dad as well, wondering whether or not he would pull the pin. I think he's very content, though, with the decision. And I think you could tell that at the press conference during the week. He seemed, didn't seem sad at all. I mean, I was in the back row crying, but crying like a little baby. But he seemed like it was a bit of a weight lifted off his shoulders. So no tears from Chris, just from me.
And Madge has already said that he'd like to use him going forward post-playing in terms of, I guess, somehow on the staff there.
Yeah, definitely. I think, they're sort of in discussions about him staying on in whether it's sort of helping with coaching, something, whether
capacity.
Something like that, welfare or something to stay around the club. I think the fact that he's been there for 15 years and would love to stay involved with the West Tigers, and I think because they have a very young squad as well, I think it would help to have him around in some capacity. So hopefully they can work something out.
Brownie, have you had any conversations with Mary, with Paul McGregor, after his final game last week? We talked about that, how the emotion of that and the dressing room pictures, which were amazing. You wanted to get to see his dad, Frank, who's been ill. Have you spoken to him at all?
Yeah, I spoke to Mary, obviously, the day of the game, I think, or the day before his last game. I think I spoke to him, and I actually spoke to him last night on my way in from Triple M.
Oh, cool.
Had a good chat with him. So he was down the coast. He's got a van down the coast, Mary, and he was getting all set to sit down, have a couple of cold beers and watch the Dragons play. But he's you know, like all coaches when these situations arise, you know, your first week or two, you sort of feel a bit like, not lonely, but you feel that adrenaline for a game, you know, like Mary's been going now at the club. If you look at as a strength conditioner, he worked for me and was always involved in, you know, a little bit of coaching stuff,
yeah,
as well as that. So, you know, from playing to that, to coaching, was it West or one of the sides in the local comp for a couple of years?
They won comps there.
Yeah, won a couple of comps. Then he's been back there as the head coach for 7 years. So he's gone all these years where pretty much every Friday or Saturday or Sunday, you've got that adrenaline. It's like a drug, isn't it? The game and trying to get a result. So last night was his first one where he wasn't. And, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks, he'll relax and probably enjoy the period. But he's actually certainly very keen at some stage to get back into it, so which is great.
What would you say is a path? Would it straight back in the NRL? Do you see, like, would England be a path for him?
It depends what Mary wants to do, you know. That's sort of each for the play, you know. When I went to England because I'd never left St George, obviously, and I was a very, very young coach. I'd obviously had 6 years coaching at St George, but for me, you know, coaching's a... You got to coach to get better. That's the only way you get better at it. You can't stay out long. If you're out for 2 years, unless you're someone like Trent Robbo, who's just recently won a couple of comps, or you're a bellyache, if you're out for 2 years, you're done. That's the reality of it, unless you're someone that's won comps. So you can't stay out long. So it's about opportunity and learning. And the only way you get better at coaching is actually by doing it. So whether Mary's got interest in England or whether he wants to hang around the NRL and go back to being an assistant or wait for a head coach's job, there's all sorts of different ways you can look at it, and all people look at it differently.
Yeah, Telegraph Today has that story. Where are they now? Looking at coaches and who have had, you know, varying degrees of success and trying to find out what they're up to these days. Because we've said it before, coaching is one of those things, isn't it? It's like the animals on the savannah. Not many of them die of old age. It's somebody's coming to get them, aren't they? We've got so much to get to. We will speak to the new Dragons coach, Dean Young, Liam Martin, who was terrific for the Panthers, and Parramatta coach Brad Arthur. That's all before. I think Sterlo arrives at 2 o'clock as well, all heading towards the game this afternoon. That is the Titans taking on
the Raiders.
And the Raiders the Raiders, I think, may be coming good. Titans, of course, are the best team in Queensland. Who would have thought? Plenty ahead. You'll listen to the Saturday Scrum, and we do it for King G. Triple M rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon, looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard. The Dragons over the Broncos, 28 points to 24. Good game of footy to have a look at, and the Dragons back-to-back victories. Gee, they haven't done a lot of that this season, to be honest. Yet another loss for the Broncos, but at least it was one they were in right to the death, Ryan Girdler.
Yeah, they certainly were. Look, I'm not sure the Dragons will be overly happy. I mean, they got off to a great start. They're up 12-0 after about 5 minutes and couldn't go on with the job, and I think they'll be a little bit disappointed there. But, you know, some of the indicators around their possession and their completion rates were really good. I think they'd be, you know, Dino would be pretty happy with the development of some of these young players that, you know, on a weekly basis are improving. Like young Zach Lomax was really good last night. Josh Kerr, I think, is really emerging into a really top-line front rower. And the development of your man, Ravalawa, and the way he goes about his business, you know, is there some big improvements there. And I think he wanted 80-minute performances. He's got 2 weeks in a row now. There's plenty of work to do. But, you know, and they got the 2 points, so I think they'll be happy with that. And I think Corey Norman as well last night, you know, so parts of his game, especially when to kick and, you know, the way that he's kicking, I think is really helping the Dragons get around the park. But the Broncos, just a diabolical start. Gee, I tell you what, after 5 minutes, I thought I was going to have to turn that off. I didn't think I was going to be able to watch that. I thought it was going to be a massacre.
That was the point where I was really enjoying watching, I must admit. When Corey Norman scored that try, that was an incredibly soft defence there. And then to make it 12-0, and you're right, the writing looked on the wall. But they, to their credit, they came back.
Yeah, look, I don't think there's a coincidence that with Darius Boyd back at fullback, that's having some impact, not only for Darius, but for the young halves as well. I've always been a big believer that wherever Darius has played, the halves have played their best football. So, you know, it was good to see young Tom Dearden, you know, show some real nice potential last night. Whether he's going to be a 7 or more of a 6, I don't know, but it was good to see him play well. And for the Bronx, you know, when you look at what they've got not playing, it's probably, apart from over the journey when they've had lots of origin players, it's probably the least sort of talented Broncos side we've ever seen and least experienced Broncos side we've ever seen.
It's definitely least experienced. I think Offa Hengawi was playing in his 101st match, and that's the most experience of of any of the players. So certainly a young side. Katoni Staggs, I mean, there weren't too many positives, but that try was incredible, wasn't it? That fend, massive don't argue on Ewan Aitken. I think he got Adam Clune as well, and then straight past Dufty. You'd think he'd have to come into consideration for Origin potentially.
Yeah, that right side's a real danger, isn't it, for the Broncos? And I like the fact that, that Dearden at the back end of the game wanted to get his hands on the football as well. I mean, they obviously put themselves in a position to win that game at the back end. And I was actually thinking, with Milford off, who's the guy that's going to be able to create something? And he sort of scored that try to get him right back into the game. And then at the dying stages, he was the guy that put his hand up in the front. I don't know whether he's 19 or 20, but there's some really good signs there from a young half that wants to come in and make those plays, you know, at crucial stages of the game. So, you know, all's not, it's hard to say. I mean, all's not lost for the Broncos. If they're bringing these development players through and they see value in that, the interesting part about the whole Dearden project is what's happening now, you know, with Croft. Where does that leave him? Why was he brought to the club if they had a guy like this that, you know, was going to come through and be their long-term halfback, and with Milford at 5'8", that doesn't leave a lot of room there for Brody. So it's going to be interesting to see how they use him over the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, I've never obviously worked with Tom Dearden. I don't know a lot about him, but the question is he a 7 or is he a 6? You know, because Milford's obviously a 6, isn't he? You know, so trying to get the right combinations to work with players is obviously a real key for them, you know, and who's going to be the fullback is going to be a bit of a question too. You know, is it going to be Tessie New long term? Is he going to be the long term fullback? He's a young player, but you know, this year's been obviously gone from bad to worse to a disaster for the Broncos, but you know, whether it's Anthony Seibold or another coach, if you steady the ship at the end of the year, they've got plenty of commodities they could let go, Brisbane, and free money up. And it only takes, you know, when you've got that much talent, you know, 2 or 3 good recruitment decisions can really change what's happening there, I believe. And I think next year wouldn't surprise me to see Brisbane obviously, you know, at least climb up 7 or 8 spots, 10 spots on the ladder with a little bit of smart recruiting and maybe letting one or two go and bringing in a different type of player to help sort of, I suppose, take away from the inexperience.
But I think that the club need to settle on who's going to lead the organisation moving forward. I think it's so ambiguous around, you know, whether Seibold's going to come back from, you know, obviously he's in COVID lockdown at the moment, whether he comes back or what happens to his position at the back end of the year. I mean, you can't start moving your roster around until you actually have someone in the head coaching role that, you know, wants to pull the strings and all that. You see, obviously, the issue at the moment with Tevita Pangai. I mean, where does that sit for the Broncos? He's come out and spoken to pretty much every media outlet.
But each of them exclusively, according to their own report.
Over the last couple of days. But
well, everyone says that, Tony.
What's happening from the club's perspective with him, Em? Do you know what they're going to do with Tevita Pangai Jr.?
No, well, they basically have come out and, or the reports originally from the likes of Pete Bedell up there and Dobbo were saying that that was it, but no one from the club has come out and confirmed that. But it's just interesting the fact that so many high-profile coaches like Robbo, Bennett even have come out and said that they don't want him at their organisation either. So I think a lot of people have been questioning the character of Tevita Pangai Jr., but I think Brownie, I mean, if someone's got talent, if you've got the right people around him, whether it's senior players, coaching staff, you can always sort of change or not necessarily change character of a person, but in the right environment, you can get the best out of a player, surely. I mean, there'd be a club that would pick up Tevita.
Oh, look, Tevita's a high-end talent, a very, very high-end talent. And the way the game's played today, that type of talent is even more useful than what it was 12 months ago. You know, people that are big and athletic that get across the advantage line quick like that, you know, they just, you know, you look at Penrith play now. Penrith have got plenty of big people who are quick and move over the advantage line quick. And, you know, the new rules suit these people more than what it did 12 months ago, where the game was a fair bit slower around the ruck. And, you know, the slower player now is nearly, like, they're never the greatest player, the slower ones, but the slower forward now is at a far more disadvantage to the quicker player.
We're going to get into some more of the Tevita Pangai Jr. We're actually going to hear from Ben Dobbin's interview with him. Had an exclusive interview with him yesterday. Don't think anybody else in the country spoke to Tevita, did they, from memory?
Oh, you're nasty.
Come on, Tony.
Don't fire Dobbo up.
No, he came
on fired up a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I know he did. I know. No, I love when anybody comes on fired up. That's the whole idea.
It's true.
It's always better when it's other people, isn't it, Tony?
It absolutely is, Brownie. Speaking of different rules, though, Paul Vaughan, now he's copped 2 weeks
for the crusher tackle. Now, during the week, because of the seeming increase in the number of crusher tackles and the concern for the players, as is absolutely right, the gradings and the numbers have increased. So on grade one, I think it's now worth 200 points. Now, he had some prior loading, so he has his 2 weeks off after the biosecurity problem that Paul Vaughan had by going out for breakfast. Comes back for 1 week, comes off the bench, and now he's gone for 2 weeks suspension.
He can go back to the cafe again now then. Then go back into quarantine. Beautiful.
If he goes straight from the game to a cafe,
100%.
Then he's got 2 weeks.
Yeah. No. It's fine. Maybe he won't use a different name to sign in this time. He can just use... His name,
apparently,
what do you
he
think?
Didn't sign in at all. I don't think he did.
Matt Pryor instead of, you know.
Matt Pryor. But what do we make of this? I see that Ricky Stewart's quoted as saying that if there is a crusher tackle, and this also goes to players allegedly lying down and trying to get milk that penalty, there should be a mandatory 15-minute assessment off-field in the same way that there is with the HIA.
Well, if we had players that are obviously laying down off the back of it. Now, the debate is, are they laying down to milk a penalty, or are they genuinely hurt? And what Sticky's saying is, if a bloke's genuinely hurt and it's that serious an injury, why is it any different to a HIA? Because the neck's actually far, far more serious than a HIA, in my opinion. What Sticky's saying is, either get up and play, or if you are actually hurt, we'll go off and have an assessment. And you can't argue, because what it will do is, it will take the milking out of it.
Yep.
And that's what Stick's trying to do. That's why he's come up with what he's come up with.
I love that idea, particularly given the fact that the two para players that, I think Cooper Johns and Albert Vette were then put on report for crusher tackles on Parramatta players, but then didn't end up getting charged. Tom Eisenhuth then had one done to him from, I think, Murata near Corey. He just got straight back up, and Bellamy said, well, my bloke didn't stay down. And then that was picked up later. So I think it will help to eliminate laying down and milking.
We might just need to start every week with 19 players, because you've got guys off with the crusher and guys off with HIA. There'll be no one left sitting on the bench
at
some point.
The thing is, a lot of these blokes would, let's be honest, everyone that was down the other day got up and played on with no problem. So they would have all got up. If they know they're going to go off, they'll get up and play.
And I truly believe that coaches don't coach their players to do this, but players understand how important penalties are, especially coming out of your own end. So if you've got wingers and centres and fullbacks getting in there, feeling any pressure, because as they run into contact there, they're usually met by three or four guys. And generally at that part of the game, in play one or two, that's when people are trying to slow down the ruck to set their whole set of six up. So if they're feeling any pressure in those areas, they're going to stay down, not because they're injured, just to try and get themselves a penalty, because they know how important that is to the team to get them out of trouble. Now, I see that there's two different styles of these crushers, and we've seen them, and I feel really sorry for Paul Vaughan, because sometimes you get guys that just sort of back in and turn on impact and then get put in a position. And Vaughan, it all happened so quickly last night that I know that he's got some loading and he's going to miss 2 weeks. And I think, you know, it's the back end of the season, and if someone was to miss a couple of weeks of finals footy, possibly a grand final for what Paul Vaughan did last night, I think it'd be an absolute disaster. And I think there's another style of tackle where, you know, you see a lot these days where players are finding ways to slow down the ruck because of the change of the rules that we've come back with. So they hold up, and then with a second effort, they lunge to the ground. I think that's a super dangerous one, and I think that needs to be eradicated from the game. But there's certain situations in the game that are unavoidable, and I know players are taught that they need, if they feel the opponent's head, that they need to release, and there's techniques that they put in place. Some of them are unavoidable, and I think the game needs to be really smart in who they suspend for what, especially during the final series.
All right. I hate to be disparaging of coaches, Brownie, as you know. But is there a slight window of opportunity if we go down that path of the, you know, going off for 15 minutes for, you know, holding the back of your head, that coaches could use that as a, because it's, I would imagine, easier to, you know, disguise that than it is a head injury. So you could go hold the back of your neck, and, you know, if you want an interchange, and off you go.
Well, if it was off from a crusher tackle, you can't just hold your neck and go off, I wouldn't have thought. You know, honestly, they could get you for an interchange. But if you was a genuine crush tackle and you're genuinely hurt, I think there's merit in it. As I said, like, I've seen plenty of people that have laid down. And when I say laid down, I'm not saying they weren't hurt, but I'm very, very confident, extremely confident, that a number of players that laid down on Thursday night, if they knew they had to go off 15 minutes, they would have got straight up. Ooh. And if they do have a serious problem with their neck, 15 minutes off is a great way for the referee to for the medical staff to check you out, make sure you're okay, put a replacement on there, and then go back on. Because the neck is a – I come from a neck injury, so I know how disastrous and how scary it can be.
Even I think there's an article in today's telly about Ethan Lowe or potentially – or was it today or yesterday?
Today's
it was a great
paper.
Article saying that, you know, and again, he agrees that players don't go out there to intentionally cause that type of damage, but he might never play rugby league again because of that. And he's had spinal surgery. He already had an issue, I think, back in 2016 anyway, so had prior damage, but that's what it can do. So
he jumped up, didn't get a penalty in that game as well. All right, so the Dragons, as just repeating, 28-24 winners over the Broncos, and mathematically there's still a chance of getting into the eight.
Don't
mathematically.
All the best.
There's still a chance. We've got a couple of good games coming up, and then a fairly heavy trot after that. But they could get there. One team that certainly will be there and increasingly likely to be holding the J.J. Giltinan Shield as the minor premiers is the Panthers. Liam Martin joins us next.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nathan Brown, Emma Lawrence, Ryan Girdle, Tony Squires with you on this Saturday afternoon. The Panthers, far too good for the Sharks, 38-12. They got in a touch-up earlier in the season as well, and the performance was incredibly impressive again last night. None better than the man we're about to speak to, Liam Martin. G'day, mate. Congratulations. Great win.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
Just signed a 2-year contract during the week and come out and enjoy your footy.
Yeah, no, it's been a pretty good week for myself. You know, signed the extension and then, you know, having a good performance on the weekend. Yeah, can't be more than happy.
There's a couple of reasons that Liam wasn't there to play well last night. Obviously, the 2 points are always important. Your new do, but also one of the Penrith favourite sons, Josh Mansell, played his 150th game. Must have been nice to celebrate that way with him.
Yeah, it was great. You know, you've seen the video, how much it meant to him. And, you know, he's a heart and soul of the club. So, you know, we wanted to go out there and do him proud. And, yeah, I think it was pretty special to share that moment with him.
And what about 10 in a row? It's last week it was a record 9. And I know Ivan comes out each week and says, no, we're just focused on one game at a time, obviously. But it must be pretty special to have such a run like that.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like, you know, after last weekend, he sort of said, you know, congratulations. Said, like, it doesn't happen very often, especially in the NRL level. And he said, you got to appreciate it. But, like, each week we just got to refocus and get on with the next job.
Liam, mate, is there any player that from, you know, that you've looked up to that you've moulded your game around or you've just played how you play?
Yeah, there's a few when I was growing up. I sort of mind. I always liked like the good tacklers like Nigel Plum and you know Corey Parker and Dallas Johnson, blokes like that. I sort of liked watching growing up. I wasn't the biggest kid, so always just try to tackle as hard as I could.
And you look like you don't like tackling yourself, mate. That's for sure. But you certainly use your elbows well. Who taught you that one?
I think that was Baz actually. He just. You know, he told me to try and protect myself a bit and use a bit of the bumpers on some of my carries.
And you do it very well, mate.
Nigel Plum. He was one of my favourites too. And apparently, if all the bandages that wrapped around Nigel Plum before he played, if you put them end-to-end, they go to the moon from the earth. It was phenomenal. Hey, mate, did you spot out former Panther Matty Moylan before the game and decide, I'm going to make your life hell this evening?
Baz sort of just... all week he'd said try to make his put him off his game a bit, just you know get stuck into him and make his day pretty hard. But yeah, you know, just try to do that.
Hey, we had a Nathan on the show, Nathan Cleary, a couple of weeks ago, and he was giving you a big rap, saying you're the smartest in the group. Are you studying or doing anything outside of footy?
I was studying a Bachelor of Science, but I ended up deferring it when I went to full time training, just with the sort of training load and trying to balance it, but. I'll look at going back to do something. Don't know what yet.
Bachelor of Science. Mm. What kind of area do you want? Obviously science, but what interests you in that?
I don't know. I always had like a sort of enjoyed it, but didn't really have any career plan. Just went in winging it pretty much.
Well, you got a pretty good career planned out now after you knew. How long was your new deal? The term of the new deal for?
Yeah, so I signed a 2-year extension. So I had next year in my current contract, and then so I've got next year, and then 2 years on top of that, so another 3. In the Panthers colours.
And it looks like, I mean, one of the things I get when I watch you guys play is the enjoyment, and it looks like you love being in each other's company. You celebrate every try. The scramble in defence, especially last night, the game was over, but just to hold out Cronulla for that last 5 minutes, I think would have been really important for the coach.
Yeah. You know, you can't always defend perfect, but he said when we turn up for one another, you know, scramble, that shows a lot more about our character, and, you know, like perfect defence sort of thing.
And now, of course, sights set on the minor premiership. Is Ivan Cleary talking about that, or it's just the old classic one game at a time?
Yeah, he hasn't really mentioned it, so I think we're just taking it week by week at the moment. You know, there's a long way to go. There's still 5 rounds. So, you know, we're just looking to build on our game and try and improve on the areas that'll take us further into the comp.
And Ivan's taken a strategy not around resting players for games, but giving you guys breaks during the week for training. How has that worked for you?
Yeah, it's been good. I got a bit of a rest the other week, so, you know, it's good. You know, when you're feeling a bit tired, and, you know, you do it all through GPS and, you know, distance now. So, yeah, it was good to get a bit of a rest. But, you know, a lot of the boys just were still happy to train, but they sort of had to get pulled out.
It's a great community, isn't it? I mean, the people out west, they love their footy, and unfortunately, at the moment, you guys probably don't get to share a lot of time with them because you're in the bubble. But what's the community been like, you know, with having such a successful team in the NRL this year?
Yeah, it's been great. Like, you know, it's a bit disappointing that we can't get out more and, you know, see the fans and just the community in general. But they've been great. Like, there's been a lot of support still, and, you know, even when we go to the shops and that, they'll still say, like, congratulations, great work, things like that.
And who did you support growing up? You're a Tamora boy, aren't you?
Yeah, I supported the Dragons, actually.
Oh, hello.
The red and white. So.
Tony's favourite.
Tony's not happy with that.
We let him go. Why do we let him go? Mate, you're doing yourself proud out there. Congratulations on the contract extension. Congratulations on the way you're playing and the way that footy team is just doing it every week. Well done, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Lou.
There is Liam Martin, the only rugby league player that I know who's been studying a Bachelor of Science. Do you know any other? Down in Wollongong, a lot of them...
Don't generalise, Tony. There's a lot of guys out there that are doing really good things.
Probably a lot more studying these days than what you think.
I know they're studying. I know the Dragons, most of them do. I wasn't generalising. I was very specific. I said the only rugby league player studying for a Bachelor of Science that I know.
Okay.
How specific do you want me to get?
What is that? What do they actually come out with their Bachelor of Science, Tony? What can they then actually do?
Well, I think you then have to have a major. You major in something. So, okay. Yeah.
You can dissect frogs.
Is that right?
You can go into, you could be a chemist, potentially.
I'll tell you what, he dissects things on a weekly basis. He dissected Matty Moylan last night.
That was cruel.
He kept going, though, Matty, and they went at each other all night, but he's doing some serious damage down that right side.
It wasn't quite as cruel as Kikau on Braden Trindle, though. It was very, very cruel, both with the ball and without the ball.
He was just tired.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that game, plenty to come, and also the Tevita Pangai Jr. situation exclusively right here on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Lovely to have company. A couple of weeks ago, Tevita Pangai Jr., it was on the Tuesday from memory, I was hearing, everybody was hearing that it was all over for him and the Broncos, that the contract was being torn up and he was out of there. And as it turns out, obviously, he'd been to the, he'd broken the biosecurity deal and had gone to the bikey barber, where the bikey cuts your hair. And there was other things. I think it was the number of games he'd missed through suspension, a whole range of things, and the Broncos decided they wanted to part ways. Mm. We didn't hear from Tevita at that time, but as of yesterday, suddenly he was out and about having a chat and telling his side of the story and trying to show a little bit of remorse about what had happened in, I guess, a way of trying to save his career at the Broncos. Now, Ben Dobbin was one of those who caught up with him. Have a listen.
They make the choice that they want to go down that path, and obviously I'll be disappointed because I love the club. You know, I don't want to play for any other club. We all get offered more enticing deals to go to other clubs, but the greats in our club, Darren Lockyer, Sam Fidey, Corey Parker, Justin Hodges, you know, we tend to take a bit less, and but that's the love that we have for the club. And, you know, I just want to do the past players proud and get back out there. And like we all say, you know, I want to fulfill my potential.
All right, there is Tafita Pangai Jr. Did you see Em? You saw a few of those interviews, I take it. Do you think that what he said, that showing of remorse, talking about his father, how his father was embarrassed that he had gone and done what he had done, and his desperation to get back in amongst the Broncos fold, where do you see it lying as we speak?
Well, I know a lot of commentators and former players came out and slammed it as a PR exercise, and the fact that it took 2 weeks, and I guess my thing is, why is he not going to, if he's trying to explain himself, going to the board and presenting this information to the board and trying to keep his contract with the club, as opposed to coming out the media? And I think he was desperately trying to win over the public and trying to defend his character. But I don't know personally whether that really did him many favours at all, coming out.
Apparently he spoke with... Early in the piece, he spoke with Paul White, had a one-on-one meeting with him. But yeah, I'm not sure exactly. I understand where you're
coming from. I think
until
you sort that situation out with the board, I think it should be kept then something in-house.
Yep.
Until there is some kind of decision either way, and then you can come out and then speak with the public. It would be hard because from day dot, there would have been multiple journalists hitting him up, hitting the club up, hitting his manager up, all of that type of thing, trying to get an interview. I know us journalists, we can be very persistent at times, and eventually they've just decided, let's go ahead and do a bunch of them. But, I mean, I don't think he's been slammed. I know a lot of players and commentators said it's probably the wrong move to do that.
Where's the club in all this? Where are the Broncos? That's what I don't understand. I mean, they're the ones that should be handling this situation. Look, it seemed like a little bit of a PR stint last night that, you know, at half time and at full time of the game. I was interested to see what he obviously had to say, but I just would like to hear something from the Broncos just to see where they're at with it. They've handed him a breach notice, but I heard somewhere that the breach notice isn't legally binding and they need to come up with some other solution. So yeah, I don't know. It's a strange one.
Do you see him, Brownie, being a Bronco in season 2021?
Well, I suppose the board or the legalities of the breaches and all that will play one part. Anthony Seibold, if he's still coaching, will probably play another part with the income. If there was a new coach or a new CEO, obviously Whitey's, you know, retiring. Yep. So there's numbers of things that go into does a player stay or go. But look, you know, lots of people saying it's been a PR stunt. And at the end of the day, for Tevita, when the Roosters come out and say they don't want you when they used to want you, when Melbourne Storm say they don't want you, all Tevita's got to do is look at what part he's played in why the Roosters don't want him and why the Storm don't want him and learn from some mistakes. It's pretty simple, clear. It doesn't matter what you say in an interview or what you say in the paper. It's all about your actions. And if Tevita learns some good lessons, he's a 24-year-old kid.
Yeah.
He's not an old person. And that'll determine his career. The next move for him, how he behaves away from the field and how he goes about his business will determine how he'll be remembered. That's pretty simple, because if it goes somewhere else and it goes downhill, his next contract will be far, far smaller and someone will just take a rough chance on him. It's all about his own actions and behaviour. That's what's going to play a part. And if he gets it right, he'll be a superstar. If he doesn't get it right, he'll be a player that we'll talk about for life that was one that didn't quite get to where we all would love to see him get to.
One of the things that he wanted to set straight was the discussion with Nick Politis, which the Broncos thought was the wrong thing to do in terms of that shopping himself around. He claims that there's a connection between Nick Politis, the Rooster Supremo, and his family with his brother and so on, and that he was just there seeking advice, wasn't anything about, you know, I want to come to the Roosters.
Yeah, from the Broncos' point of view as well, even if you do have that connection, you can understand, naturally, you'd think if you're reaching out to Nick Politis, you're reaching out to suss out potentially moving to the club. So, and again, all he needs to do is go to the Broncos. Essentially, as long as the Broncos know his side of the story and know where he's at, that's all that really matters for him to in order to keep that contract. He didn't really need to come out and explain to the world that that was the situation. But you can understand from a Broncos point of view, if you hear that one of your star players is reaching out to Nick Politis, I certainly wouldn't be happy. And straight away, when it happened a couple of weeks ago, that's when he should have straight away gone and explained that to the board or to Paul Wyatt. It shouldn't have, you know, taken a couple of weeks for this all to happen.
I'll defend Tevita here because I can tell you a million players that I've coached that still might drop a line to me. I can tell you a million players that talk to other people that they might see as someone who can just offer a bit of guidance, and it just doesn't make the paper. Now, whatever Tevita and Nick spoke about is no one's business as far as I'm concerned, and I don't think the Broncos need to worry about it. I don't think anyone needs to worry about it. If he sees Nick as someone who's gives him a bit of guidance, by all means, sort of, because we all need mentors in our life, everyone. I mean, Wayne Bennett had, and Jack Gibson had Mass. You know, everyone's got them. The greatest people who are the most successful people have people who mentor them, and I just don't think it's an issue to Vita talking to Nick Politis myself.
All right. Well, he says, I don't want to play for any other club. I love Brisbane, and I want to play for the Broncos. Well, let's see how that plays out over the next little while. This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G. Saturday afternoon as we lead into this.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I love Tony Sessions. I love the 3 and 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
3 and 5.
All right, brains at the ready team. I've mixed it up again this week. So I'm not doing my classic 3 and 5. I'm going with a more of the standard quiz with another famous name from the great game of rugby league. It is the Andrew Johns quiz. So you'll need to buzz in using your names as buzzers. You said that your name is what you're going to do?
That's it.
Okay. What are you going to do? M?
M.
Okay.
Brownie.
All right.
Original.
Ryan, can you test yours again for me, please? Okay, here we go in the Andrew Johns quiz. Question number one, where was Andrew Johns born? Yes, Ryan Girdler.
Hopefully in a hospital somewhere.
No. Cessnock? Cessnock is correct.
Was he born there?
Yes,
in Cessnock.
He was born in Cessnock. What is his middle name? Yes?
Gary?
It is. It's his father's name. And his middle. Well done. You're on fire. What is the Cessnock Rugby League team called?
Emma.
Yes, Emma.
Goannas?
Yes, the mighty Cessnock Goannas. What number immortal is he?
Emma, the eighth.
Well,
I'm
a bit slow
that?
Today.
Yeah, you are a bit slow. Would you like to test your buzzer?
Brownie.
Yeah, it's still working. I don't know.
Who gets that last one?
Well, Emma gets it because she answered it, even though you did buzz in first.
Really?
Yeah. Whose former girlfriend did Andrew once date? What famous person's former girlfriend?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie.
Daniel Craig.
Correct. Now, James Bond himself, his ex, Satsuki Mitchell. How many premierships has he won? Yes, Brownie.
Two.
Correct. Oh, now he's on fire. Who did he pass the ball to? Yes, Brownie.
Darren Albert.
Yeah, correct. Listen to this.
Should have tested his buzzer.
Well, obviously, it was told to him before. It wasn't
working. His microphone down.
Listen to this and tell me what it has to do with Joey.
Brownie.
You buzz. You did buzz. Yes, go on. What's it got to do with him?
Don't let me tell you, guys.
Newcastle.
Don't
and he went and got him out of bed after
exactly
the grand final.
Exactly right. 97 grand final.
That's it. He got Daniel Johns, climbed in his window, got him out of bed. He's in Merriweather House and dragged him to the party. All right. What was so unusual about Joey playing for New South Wales in January of 2007? Listen to the month. What was so unusual? Yes, Emma.
It was January.
Because it was January?
No, it's because he was actually playing New South Wales in cricket, in T20 cricket.
That's cryptic.
Cryptic. What English club did he play?
Brownie.
Yes, Brownie.
Warrington.
Correct. And finally, how many Dally M medals?
Brownie.
Emma.
No, four. Three.
Three is correct. It's a close run thing, but I think Nathan Brown, you've come back from way back in the field to win the game. Brad Arthur will join us next on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.